Oh, my loves, do you know that I can start creating audio for every writing that I've done in the past and all that's to come? So this here is going to change everything for those who are wanting to hear me read my words. So today the topic is, what's love got to do with it when our neural pathways and nervous system have already decided? This is a piece of writing that came through for me this week, and I'm so excited to share it with you. So let's get into it. Oh, my loves, what a week it has been. And I want to say thank you to each of you who read these writings, who listen to the podcast, who send messages of support, or stop me in the street to talk about what I'm doing. I love you and know that we are all here to learn and grow from each other. These days passed, agitation and frustration were what I was feeling. I could say it was here because of eclipse season or Mercury in retrograde, but really I knew it was something within me, a force of nature blinding its way like a fireball of energy and wanting to rattle the cage. I knew I could figure it out, but not while I was feeling frustrated or agitated. That state just wants me to blame everyone and everything around me. I know that if I'm feeling this way, the quickest way to lift it is to be of service. So I was. I opened a room on Clubhouse and spoke of it. A beautiful meditation and message came through, and the peace I wished for and felt was only momentarily here. Then straight back to the feelings of agitation and frustration. I wanted to honor why I was feeling this way. Give space to it, but yet I was frustrated and agitated at being frustrated and agitated. Who can relate? I surfed, I changed the furniture in my bedroom around, I ordered comfort food, I wrote, still the shadow hung. Finally, I slept, and when I woke the next day, pieces of realization came through. Speaking of it on a call with one of my students, as soon as I began sharing, the thread unraveled and unraveled and unraveled. I realized I don't like being in charge. I don't like being in my masculine. I don't like having to lead a partnership. I want to be taken care of. I want the other to lead me. When I feel let down, I charge into my masculine energy to lead, to pick up the pieces, to forge ahead. This was a lifetime of I can do it energy after plans are made and then have fallen through. I'm purposeful and driven. I know my purpose and why I'm here. Still, I wanted to have someone else to take charge on this latest project. I want to feel like for one area of my life, I could rest a bit. It's tiring being both energies all the time. How could I be in my intuitive, delicious, feminine flow if I was in my masculine? Had I created this situation? Had I prevented this person from being in their masculine? Was I intimidating in my full expression? What I was seeing here was that because I had so easily stepped into my masculine, think years of being a chef in a very masculine industry, think years of having to take charge in working relationships, in romantic relationships, that I was leaving no room for anyone else to be given the chance or the invitation to step in. I am a direct person. I love being direct with kindness. I was seeing this other side of me, which was short, standoffish, and closed down. I was frustrated and agitated in this state and displaying these behaviors. I saw that the other person was responding differently to me being this way. I was frustrated and agitated because I was seeing different responses and behavior being displayed. It opened a whole new way of witnessing relationships for me. I was seeing how what we have experienced defines for us unconsciously what we find attractive. I started witnessing different relationships around me and the dynamics of them. What we are attracted to and why. How it changes the levels of attraction when the behaviors change. I always lovingly, kindly, knowingly, gently tell my students that agitation is always an invitation to expansion. I smile when my own words come to bite me on the ass. What I was witnessing was my own behavior and not liking it one bit. It wasn't me, who I am at my core. And I now had this avalanche of insight as to why. I don't play games. I don't like misleading, manipulating, or miscommunication. If I like you, you know it. If I love you, you know it. I am kind. I am gentle. I'm supportive, loving, and affectionate. You may be super open to this kind of attention. It may feel safe and attractive to you. Or say you have only experienced in your past relationships or while growing up emotional avoidance, chaos, reactivity, aggression. This loving kindness coming to you from me may feel super uncomfortable because you are not ready or maybe not used to it. You may want to avoid it or see it as clingy, as boring. You may not trust it as your nervous system and neural pathways do not recognize it as something attractive. You may not feel safe experiencing this kind of attention. But when I become frustrated or agitated, this ignites your neural pathways as something comforting. You recognize and understand this behavior. You can relax as you know how to respond to this kind of behavior because that's what you've been used to. If I withhold my emotions, shut down, become reactive, all of a sudden I change in your eyes as something to be attracted to. Attraction is super interesting. Attraction I see as unconscious patterning. When we are not yet conscious to what we are attracted to or why. Our tastes change as we grow. What was attractive to us before may change as we heal. And what I've noticed about myself is what I was attracted to in my past is so far away from what I find attractive now. We often talk about what triggers us. Can we also look at what we find comfortable? And what if what we find comfortable is not actually healthy for us? If agitation is an invitation to expansion, then can what we feel is comfortable be what keeps us small? It's just the question. Without conflict, nothing changes. Without challenges, we do not grow or move forward. We don't search for answers. We don't try something different or look for new solutions. That spark we feel when we meet someone for the first time, could it be a warning instead of an attraction? I wrote this little piece here below weeks ago before our last Divine Workshop. A topic that came through as I sat in contemplation about how we see love and lust or attraction. So this is just something that came through a couple of weeks ago that I want to share with you. Imagine yourself being the muse of William Shakespeare, the object of his affection, someone who he feels so deeply for that all these characters of the deepest love expressed across all his works are caused by you, the power you wield. And rather than being at smooth sailing or soft and beautiful, you decide to create mayhem, create longing, create drama, all for the story. That this madness created is what so many for hundreds of years after the fact have equated to how love feels or should look like. We have associated that with love. There is pain and heartache, betrayal, longing, unrequited feelings. That any love we have experienced wasn't really love unless there was drama or anguish, confusion or angst. There must be drama for it to be love, and if there isn't any, then we will create it. If you have had the experience of a volatile or chaotic household growing up, love takes on a meaning that you must feel unsafe. Love can hurt you, abuse you. So you grow up not trusting or fearing love. You seek out similar situations as you feel comfortable and recognize these situations. Healthy, loving relationships seem tepid. Our experiences, either lived through or those we've been exposed to through media, film, books, has taught us what we think love is. Just take a moment there, just to let that sink in. Yeah. What if everything that you know about love, or have been taught about love, or have seen as love, what if it could be different? A calm, peaceful, soft love can seem boring if all you have witnessed has been drama, violence, abuse. We know it is available, but we also don't have the skills or coping mechanisms to recognize, cultivate, and grow this love, as our defenses are so high up that everything can be a trigger that sets off insecurities or false narratives we have been taught. Love is safe, calm, and peaceful, not designed to hurt or wound you. What is happening is that you are discovering what is love and what is not. I've had conversations with girlfriends about this topic and how their nervous system responds around different people. Do you feel safe or confusion? Do you feel you can be yourself, relaxed, or are you withholding? These markers can show you what love is and what is pure attraction. How our body feels in the moment is going to be a key indicator to whether you're building love or simply lust. A connection is not the building of a relationship unless both are feeling safe enough to be vulnerable. Feeling comfortable? Check in to see how your nervous system is responding. If you feel regulated around this person, if it is slow to build, if you are curious rather than confused, these are beautiful steps towards love. If your nervous system is agitated, if you're feeling intensity yet not consistency, this can be a clue that it is simply being attraction. I found that my agitation I had experienced opened this way of seeing relationships around me in a new light, how others responded to my behavior. I only ever want to be loving, kind, thoughtful, considerate. Though the agitation opened this new insight, so by feeling it, experiencing it, and writing about it, I found the light again and perhaps even healed or shifted stuck emotions within me. An awakening occurred and it is still processing. I only ever want to be me in any relationship I have. And if me being me ignites questions within you as to what love feels like, I am open to go deeper, reach higher. All emotions are here for us to be felt and experienced. And if agitation I am feeling leads me to insight, leads me to healing, I know the feeling, the emotion is temporary and here to teach me more about myself. Nothing is ever wasted when we have the courage to feel it, face it, and move through it. Oh, now, consciousness is a funny old thing. Just yesterday, during the process of this piece of writing coming through, I was taking a break and distracting myself with deciding to close tabs that were open on my computer. And if you've ever shared screen with me, you know I'm the queen of open tabs. It came to an open Gene Keys tab, and when I clicked on it, this window popped up for a free course in beginning to study the Gene Keys. Back in January, I had a friend, a dear friend, Fraser, read and explain my Gene Keys to me, and here I was months later back at this tab. I was in a contemplative mood, and for whatever reason, I commenced the course module by module. It came to the creation of my unique blueprint, which I've read before a few times over the years, and each time it brings me to tears for explaining who I am, how I communicate, and what I am to be in the world. As I'm building my own online courses at the moment, this was twofold for me, working through the program for insights into myself and also the course structure and layout. I signed up for a few of the newsletters, and within minutes I received an email for the Gene Key of the Week. This is crazy. So if you want to have a look down at the photo, I've screenshot it and it's in the newsletter below. But basically, the Gene Key for this week, which started on the 4th of April and ends on the 10th of April, the Gene Key was Gene Key 51, Agitation, Initiative, and Awakening. Okay, so what that means is agitation is the shadow, initiative is the gift, and awakening is the city. When I clicked through the email and saw the date, saw what the key was, I broke down into tears yet again. For here in front of me was the confirmation and validation that what I had just been through of the past few days was right on schedule. That the agitation I had moved through, even though I thought I knew the cause or creation of it, was simply the instigator for my awakening. With each Gene Key, there is a shadow, a gift, and a city. Richard explains through the course that each shadow is to be felt deeply to be released, that each gift offers insight, and then to transcend into the city means you are free. My own process and what I had been presented was truly a gift. And next time agitation comes to me, I welcome it with open arms as I found more of myself within the shadow of agitation. How and when we are led, it is always our choice to follow. Seeing the synchronicities, always the right thing, person, situation presents when we are ready. Forever the student, may I never complete my lessons with my own journey, as each time I feel more of me open. This, truly this life, is such a blessing to be experienced. So, awaken to your state of being, who you are, who you long to be. They are waiting for you. Each writing that I put forward will now have a voice recording for it so that you can listen to it on the app or you can listen to it through your email or web browser. I really love what I can create and the way I can create on Substack. So if this has hit a chord for you and you want to reach out, do so. You want to leave a comment? I'd love you to. If you want to share this writing with someone who you feel may benefit from it, please do so. This is my livelihood. This is my passion. My purpose is to share these insights with you and my writings. If you are curious about becoming a student, or if you would like to work one-on-one with me through sessions, then the details are below the newsletter in ways of contacting me. Meditation classes, if you're available and free and local to Cronulla, they are listed on my website or within my Instagram. And I love you so much, and I thank you for being here. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you.